Mystery Theater. CBC presents Mystery Theater, a series of strange tales of the supernatural and the unforeseen, of chills and thrills and adventures, selected from the classics. Here then, the story, The Signal Man, by Charles Dickens, adapted for radio by George Salverson. Supernatural and the unforeseen, of chills and thrills and adventures, selected from the classics. Here then, the story, The Signal Man, by Charles Dickens, adapted for radio by George Salverson.
Goods train by 11:22. All clear. Right moon. Oh, well. Don't bother me now. Making tea. Aye. Tea.
Hello there!
What's that? Who's there?
Hello! Hello there!
Oh.
Who's there? You there! What's the matter? Hello, you by the danger light. What you be doing there? Was it you that called? What do you want? Speak up there. What's wrong?
When I first called down to him, I was so steeped in the glow of an angry sunset that I had to shade my eyes before I saw him at all.
Hello! Below there!
His figure was in a shadow. He was standing at the door of his signal box with a flag in his hand. But instead of looking up to where I stood on the top of the steep cutting over his head, he turned round and looked the other way, down the rail line toward the tunnel. There was something remarkable in his manner of doing so, but I could not for my life have said what.
Hello there!
He turned round again, looked up, saw me, but made no reply. Just then there came a vague vibration in the earth and air, changing to a violent pulsation, and then an oncoming rush that caused me to start back as though it had forced to draw me down. When such vapor as rose to my height had passed me, I looked down again. He was refurling his flag, which he had shown while the train went by, and he was regarding me with fixed attention.
I say, is there a good way down? I see a kind of path there. Is it safe to come down by it? I want to have a look round. Is it all right?
Is the man a mute? I believe I can make it.
Oops. Look out below! Loose stones!
Strange fellow. Is he frightened of me? Clammy stone, and he was waiting for me between the rails with an attitude of such expectation and watchfulness that I stopped, wondering at it. His post was solitary, dismal, jagged rock walls excluding all but a strip of sky, terminating in a red danger light and a black tunnel. Cold wind rushed through it, hissing over the telegraph wires, striking chill to me as if I had left the natural world. And the signalman had not stirred. I drew near, I made some little greeting. At this, he directed a most curious look toward the red danger light, as if there was something missing from it. Then he looked back at me.
Is the light in your charge?
Don't you know it is? What is it you want?
Why, to explore. It's my craft, you might say. Why, what's the matter, man? You look at me as if I were a danger to you.
I thought I'd seen you before.
Oh? Where? What, there? At that red light?
Aye.
Oh, my good fellow. Now, what should I do at the mouth of a tunnel? I never was there, you may swear.
Your craft, did you say, sir? What craft, sir?
Why, to observe, to notice, to remember, to record, to recreate in artful reconstructions our contemporary life. In short, to write.
Oh, you be the writing gentleman as is staying in the village.
You see, it's most unalarming.
Oh, aye, sir, indeed.
May I have a look round, then?
Oh, of course, indeed, sir. Would you like to see the signal box?
Thank you. Everything is grist for the mill, you know. I may find you and your little trackside domicile in the midst of great happenings one day in story or novel.
Oh, that would be fine, sir.
Mm-hmm. You work all alone in this place?
Aye, sir. All alone. Until the next shift.
All night?
Aye. 12 hours, sir.
Mm, long hours for a solitary man with such responsibility. There are many wrongs in this world, you know, and I take it as my duty to strike out at them.
True words, sir. Would you step inside?
Thank you. Ah, you're quite cozy in here. I see you keep a close watch on the danger light. Is there anything wrong with it?
What? What, sir?
I was wondering, is there something wrong with that danger light?
No, sir.
But you keep looking at it.
Aye, trim the light when needed, change the signal when the line is clear. No opposing traffic, you know, sir. We'll shut out that cold wind, shall we, sir?
Oh, right. Yeah. Fire, I must say, is welcome. Remarkable how much colder it is down here, eh?
The damp and the wind through the tunnels.
That explains it, certainly, yes. Though, when one's senses are tuned to all impressions, it seems more than natural, what?
Huh? Would you have some tea, sir?
Yes, very kind of you.
You'll pardon me, sir, a message?
By all means. I'll help myself, may I?
Please, sir.
To my questions with readiness. I observed him to be remarkably exact and vigilant, which might have explained his several penetrating glances at that danger light. Several times he was interrupted by the electric bell and had to read off messages. We drank the welcome tea, we chatted about the railroad life, and then a strange thing happened.
Aye, when you put it that way, sir. But it's such a part of my life, like eating, I hadn't thought on it.
Yes, yes, you know it's less than 20 years since Mr. Morse made his invention.
Is it, sir?
It is. And now in many countries of Europe and in America, hundreds, nay, thousands of lives of travelers depend on this telegraph of yours and the responsibility and meticulous care of lonely men like yourself.
Well, when you put it that way, sir, yes, it is quite...
What is it?
A bell.
Bell?
Please, sir.
What are you listening to?
Excuse me, sir.
What is it? Is it the light? The light is functioning properly.
What? Oh, aye, sir.
You must keep unceasing vigilance.
In a manner of speaking, sir. Will you have more tea, sir?
Yes, why, thank you.
It's a rarity, sir, and most welcome a visitor here.
I can imagine you would have many hours for thought and reflection here.
The mind wanders. Must be a grand thing, sir, to be a man like yourself with the thoughts you must have to fill the time.
Yes, it is a busy head, this. There are times, you know, when I long for a little silence up there.
Is it working all the time, then, sir?
Even as I strolled in the fields from the village, even as I discovered you below me in the cut.
What thoughts, sir? Might I ask?
Oh, why not? Words for a book.
The actual words, sir. Inside your head?
Inside my head. Ready for the paper.
You can recall them, sir?
Memory. A part of the craft. I train myself, you see. I walk down a street in London. I glance once into each shop window. Then I write down each item in each window.
What words did you have as you came along, sir?
Your village.
Yes, sir.
Did you know a battle was fought there?
A battle?
Mm-hmm.
When, sir?
Why, in the time of Cromwell. Didn't you ever hear that?
Oh, never, sir. Were you thinking on the battle then, sir?
Yes. Oh. What's that?
Oh, only the wind in the telegraph wire, sir.
Oh, yes, of course.
Your battle words.
Battle words. Yes, well, it begins once upon a time.
They all do that.
Yes. Once upon a time, it matters little when, and it matters little where. A fierce battle was fought. Not 100 soldiers in the battle knew for what they fought or why. Not 100 of the rejoicers in the victory why they rejoiced. Not 50 people were the better for the gain or loss. Not 60 agree to this hour on the cause or merits. Nobody, in short, ever knew anything distinct about it except the mourners of the slain. For it was a great fight in which thousands upon thousands had been killed.
Ah, sir, that's well said.
Heaven keep us from a knowledge of the sights that moon beheld upon the field, when coming up above the black line of distinct rising ground, she rose into the sky and looked upon the plain, strewn with upturned faces that had once, at mother's breasts, sought mother's eyes. Heaven keep us from a knowledge of the secret whispered afterwards upon the tainted wind. Before the traces of the fight were worn away, many a lonely moon was to rise and be bright upon the battleground, and many a wind from every quarter of the earth was to blow over it.
Aye, wind. Who can tell where the wind has been?
Those traces of the fight lingered for a long time, but surviving only in little things.
Little things?
Crops were sown and grew up and gathered. The stream that had been crimson turned a watermill. Men whistled at the plough.
Sir, the death, it was still there.
Sabbath bells rang peacefully. Young people lived and old people died. The simple flowers of the garden grew and withered in their destined terms upon the fierce and bloody battleground where thousands upon thousands had been killed in the great fight.
Still there, sir. Little things, you said, sir.
What?
You said little things.
The little things in which the battle survived?
Yes, sir.
Well, for a long time in the growing corn, there were deep green patches that people looked at awfully. Year after year, they reappeared, and it was known that under those fertile spots, heaps of men and horses lay indiscriminately buried, enriching the ground.
Oh, sir.
The husbandmen who ploughed those places shrank from the great worms abounding there.
Worms.
One dinted helmet had been hanging in the church so long that the same old man who tried in vain to make it out above the arch had marveled at it as a baby. Old wives' tales, so fanciful that they make it easy to forget the truth. Old wives' tales. Yes. All that remained of the truth.
No, sir. No.
No?
It's still there, sir.
What, the truth?
Yes, sir.
Oh. The truth being that if the host slain upon the field could have been for one moment reanimated in the forms in which they fell, each upon the spot where he fell, gashed and ghastly soldiers would have stared in at household door and window,
oh, God,
hundreds
sir.
Deep, and would have risen on the hearths of quiet homes,
oh, God.
And would have been in the garnered store of barns and granaries, and would have started up between the cradled infant and its nurse, would have floated in the stream and whirled around on the mill, and crowded the orchard and burdened the meadow. And piled the rickyard high with dying men.
Aye.
So altered was the battleground,
where thousands upon thousands had been killed in that great Now, these are only words.
No.
Please sit down.
More than words.
Calm yourself, please.
Truth. Did you not say it yourself, sir? Truth.
Yes, of course, but merely a concept of the mind all the same. Here, let me give you some more tea.
No.
What? No, I am exceedingly sorry. No.
Quiet.
Yes? What? Bell.
Did you hear the bell?
No.
The message. Can you not hear the telegraph?
No, not a sound. Only the wind and the wires.
Sir?
Yes?
You know, sir.
Know
these things. You understand them.
What things?
Like my trouble.
Well, what trouble?
Hard thing to speak of, sir.
I'm listening.
When you stood at the top there.
Above the car.
What made you, sir? Why did you call out in just that way?
Well, what way do you mean?
Hello, below there, you said. Why was that?
Oh, heaven knows. I did shout something to that effect. Well, because I saw you below.
Is that all?
Yes. But what other reason could I possibly have?
True.
What is it that troubles you, man?
I'm a man like you, sir. I can tell you.
Yes, you tell me.
An hour ago, I took you for...
For what?
For someone else.
Well, who?
I don't know who. I never saw the face.
Well, how is that?
The left arm is across the face, the right arm's waved.
Well, what do you mean?
Well, like this. The face is covered and the arm is... Waving.
Where was this?
Last year it started. One moonlight night.
What started?
I was sitting here when I heard a voice. Hello? Below there?
Last year? Oh, then you don't mean me.
No, sir.
You know, there are mental states in which we may confuse time.
Last year... I jumped up, opened that door, and saw this...
This what?
This... someone. Standing by the red danger light near the tunnel.
Ah, the danger
Standing light. There, waving, just as I showed you.
Well?
I just got hold of my lamp, I turned it on red, and I ran towards...
Ran towards this person?
It was standing just in front of the black mouth of the tunnel. I ran right up.
What?
I came so close that I wondered at the sleeve still across the eyes. I had my hand up to pull the sleeve away.
And didn't you?
No.
Why not?
It was gone.
Gone?
Aye.
How could it be gone?
Aye. How?
Was it rain or fog? Oh, no, you said bright moonlight. Did you look? Well, what about the tunnel?
I ran into the tunnel, held up my lamp. Saw all them wet stains creeping down the walls. Something in those words, sir, in your head.
Wasn't the person there?
No. I ran out again, come in here, and telegraphed both ways.
You telegraphed? What did you say?
An alarm has been given. Is anything wrong?
Did you get an answer?
Both ways.
And?
All well.
Very dear fellow. I wish I'd known this before I made my little recitation.
Then I'd never have told you, sir. I'd never tell anyone.
Then perhaps it's just as well.
You know these things, sir. Sir, what is it?
Now, to begin with,
sir...
Well, it's not what you think.
Then, sir?
Strange shapes are often known to trouble the delicate nerves of the eye. Yes, have you thought of that? The dust, the soot, the smoke with every passing train.
Oh, no, sir.
Oh, yes. As to the imaginary cry, why, listen to the wind in this unnatural valley.
meaning, sir. But there's more.
Oh? What else?
Within 6 hours of what I've described to you, the accident happened.
Accident?
And through the tunnel, over the spot where I had seen... what I had seen, they brought the dead.
Oh.
Like your battlefield, sir.
Oh, now I understand.
I haven't finished. That was last year. One morning 5 months ago, as the day was breaking, I looped towards the tunnel.
You heard the cry?
No, it was silent. No. And did not wave an arm. It was leaning against a shaft of light.
A shaft of light?
So it seemed. With both hands covering its face.
In mourning?
Like this.
Aha, yes, mourning. Incredible. I've seen such an attitude in stone figures on tombs. Well, perhaps not so incredible if you had seen them.
I come in, sat down, feeling faint.
But nothing happened this time, eh?
That very day.
What?
A train stopped.
Well?
Right here.
Well, what of it?
No train stops here.
Oh, then why...
They brought in a woman. She'd been took ill on the train. She died. Right here.
Oh, but my dear man, people are dying all the time somewhere.
Yes, sir, but not this, and judge how my mind is troubled.
Oh, yes, 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 of course. You've seen it again.
A week ago. It came back. Ever since, off and on, it's been there.
At the danger light?
At the danger light. I've no peace nor rest. It goes on calling for minutes at a time. Below. Below there. Look out, look out, look out, look out.
Oh, my dear fellow.
It stands waving. It rings that bell.
Yes, yes, yes. Now, when you went out then to look at the light, had your bell rung then?
Aye, sir.
Oh, it had, I see. Hmm. Now then, you listen to me. Now just see how your imagination misleads you, eh? As a living man with ears in my head, I assure you that bell did not ring then.
I heard it. I went to the door, I looked.
And it was there, this figure?
It was there.
Do you think it's there now?
Aye, sir.
Will you come with me and look?
Aye, sir.
Well, come along, then. Well, there's the danger light. Where's the figure?
Oh, it's not there.
Of course it's not.
What does it mean, sir? What is the danger this time? There is danger up the line, hanging over some train that's due here. Some worse accident.
Now, now.
You don't believe it?
Yes, yes, yes. I believe everything you've told me.
No, I mean, do you think I'm mad, sir?
No. Why, well, if you were, if you were, you wouldn't ask such a question, would you? But, you see, I do attribute it to a nervous condition. In such a place as this, it could happen to anybody. Well, to me, you see.
And what can I do?
Well, I want to help you. Now, will you come with me tomorrow, and we will see what may be done?
Where, sir?
To a wise medical practitioner, a friend of mine. He will take his opinion, and I am certain that he can relieve you of this... well, it's purely nervous imagining.
Do you think so?
As certain as one may be of anything. Will you come in the morning after your shift?
Aye, sir.
Very good. Now, put your mind at ease. Now, what you've told me is quite natural. There is nothing whatsoever to be concerned about. But do come and see me. I believe you know where I'm staying.
Right? Aye, sir.
Ah, good. Well, now, be sure you come. It's for your own peace of mind. And, of course, the public safety. Well, don't you agree?
Oh, I do, sir. I do. And thank you, sir.
Not at all. I'll expect you. Well, good night, and keep your mind off that abominable wind.
Good night, sir. Oh, you've not told me your name, sir.
Oh, just ask for Charles Dickens. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Dickens.
Poor devil. And it is a matter of the public safety, I must say. What about my own safety? I still have to make my way back up there somehow in the dark. Well, at least there's no one back there at the light. Oh, splendid. A train. Now I'll be covered with soot before I can reach the top. Oh.
Doesn't ring.
But it does. Oh, how am I to tell? Yes, I can see it's ringing. No. I answer that, and they haven't called. Who is it out there? Did it ring the bell? Dear God, it's there. Oh, heaven. Dear God, the train's in the tunnel. What's going to happen to it?
Look out! Look out!
Here, bring the bloody tarp. Tom, off into the signal and warn them. We don't want the bloody express running into us. Off it, you. Cover him up,
for God's sake.
That's it.
Here, you. What is it? What's happened?
Well, he got bloody well run over, that's what.
The signal man.
The signal man. What's left of him, damn it?
I don't stay with him.
You, sir? What's it to do with you?
Never mind. How did it happen?
Coming round the curve of the tunnel I was, and there he was in the middle of the track. Paid no heed to the bloody whistle. Stood there and didn't move, and we run him down.
It doesn't make sense.
It bloody well don't.
Well, what did you do?
Well, what the bloody hell else could I do?
What happened to make this man lose all power of movement? To simply stand between the rails and be run down? Look, I want to know what you did.
What I did? Well, I'll tell you. I whistled. I shut off. I braked. And there was nothing to do then but cover me bloody eyes and wave at him.
Cover your eyes and wave at him.
I shouted me bloody lungs out.
Shouted?
Yes, shouted.
Now tell me something. What? Just what did you shout?
What did I shout? What's it bloody well matter? I shouted.
What did you shout at the man?
Well, what else would I shout? Hello, below there! Look out! Look out! Look out!
The distraught locomotive driver moved his eyes from my face. He looked down at the crumpled figure under the top fallen. Then, as I watched him unbelievingly, he hid his face in both hands. It was an action of mourning. I have seen such an attitude in stone figures on tombs.
Mystery Theater has presented The Signalman by Charles Dickens, in radio version by George Selverson. Production and direction, Gene Bartels. In the cast, Henry Comer, The Signalman. William Osler, Dickens. Glenn Morris, the engineer. Sound effects were by Bill Roach. Technical operation, Brian Wood. This is Bill Lorne speaking.